Hello, and welcome to Nantucket After Dark, where we talk about sex, relationships, love, with spirit in the mix. I'm your hostess, Dorothy Stover, the founder of Nantucket Love School. Welcome to the sexual evolution. Let's dive into this week's episode.
Welcome back. Well, I was like, oh, I'll just go.
That was such a horrible thing. I apologize. No, that was me.
We're back in action, ready to talk about trust.
I'm so ready. Right now in the Zoom call, I'm making like arm movements, like I'm dancing.
I'll do that with you. Pumped up.
Yeah. Super pumped. I'm just like punching in different directions. That's how I show I'm really excited. Yes, I wanted to follow up our last episode with just like a quick recap of what I was saying at the very end. But then Dorothy, I do want to pass it to you because at the very end of the first episode, we were talking about the questions of like, how do we show up in building trust with others? And then like, what do we feel like we need to receive in building trust with others? And I definitely had the mic at the end of the episode and was sharing some of my thoughts of like what I need and what I bring to the table. And I want to hear from you and I want to hear about you of how do you show up in building trust with others? And yes, like what do you need or what do you feel that you need to receive in building trust with others?
Thank you for asking. I really appreciate that. Thank you. It gives me a lot to think about too. And you had such a great answer. And so a lot resonated with me on what you were talking about and what comes forward for what I need personally for trust and building trust is trusting myself. So I think that's the biggest part. If I trust myself and I'm always testing my own vulnerability. Am I able to show up in this moment vulnerable or am I not able to show up in this? I do make a conscious decision oftentimes going, all right, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be vulnerable. And no one may like me in this moment. No one may hold me. No one may. And so that strengthens, I feel, the ability to go vulnerable because oftentimes, and I especially think for like the divine feminine within all of us needs vulnerability, and to be able to be vulnerable expands our hearts. And so, and expands and lifts up our energy as well. So if I'm able to hold that space of vulnerability for myself, being like, you're going to be safe. I've got you. No one likes you after you say this, or if no one, you know, if the person that you're being vulnerable with, you're sharing and they just don't even recognize that you are just vulnerable, or they don't, you know, that it's like, it's going to be okay. You'll be all right. I've got you. So I think a lot of that's like my inner child is the one who's being vulnerable, right? Like that's when I'm showing up. It's my inner child that is being vulnerable. And so that's for me with trust, is trusting myself to know I'm resilient and I'm strong. And so, okay, I can be vulnerable. And that I think leads other people to trust me, but then also to trust themselves. And the few energetic reasons I see behind this is even if in that moment they weren't able to hold space or they weren't able to be vulnerable, or they didn't trust themselves, or didn't trust me. I do think it's almost like a deposit in the trust bank that it begins to open up their mind. And like you talk about the walls, it takes down a brick. It's like, oh, this person was vulnerable with me. All right, I can take down a brick. And so maybe it's a year from now that they're able to hold that space. But it's so it's like inspiring each other. And if I'm showing up with vulnerability, that leads other people to show up with vulnerability too. Because when one person stands, others grow a backbone. It becomes like that strength, I think, that we can get from when other people show strength, then yeah, that can move forward. And so that, yeah, and boundaries are huge, huge, like, and that's something I'm still dancing with is boundaries and mm-hmm. where are my boundaries at? So I always have to like check in. Did my boundaries change? Did I change? And so I do tune in and like adjust. And then I do my very best, although I don't pick up social cues and I can be very awkward. So it's some, like when it comes to social interactions, that can be really awkward for me. And like when we, like with empathy, right? Like I can sit and I can feel what someone's going through, but not necessarily everything, or sometimes I don't even tune in because a lot of it, I like to have boundaries around that because I feel it's a violation of someone's energy if I'm tuning into their energy. So yeah, communication is huge for me. Like I need people to be like, I appreciate people who are honest to a fault, and that makes me trust them. If someone I know would be honest to a fault, then it allows that trust because I know, okay, this person is going to tell me things that I don't want to hear, but I need to hear.
Yep.
So that I appreciate, but someone who tries to please me, maybe they're like, okay, I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. And so for me, I end up not trusting that person as much because I don't know, are they going to try to not hurt my feelings? And they don't tell me vital information that I need that. And especially like with how I can be socially, maybe I don't realize I'm doing a faux pas or I did something or I harmed someone. So I need people who go, hey, you did this. You said this. That's not what you should be saying. want to rethink this. You may want to say this instead. I need that. So if someone's able to hold that space, it allows me to go, oh, okay, I can trust this person. Tell me how it is. And that's huge for my trust. I need someone who is, I know I would rather have someone who's like, you don't look good in that outfit, than someone who's like, you look amazing. You've never looked better. That to me is like, not nice.
Oh my God. Dorothy. Oh yes. You like everything that you're saying. I'm like giving you snaps. I'm waving my hands. I want to clap. I want to give you a standing ovation. And just because like I resonate with it so deeply too, I think that this is one of, I think maybe the many ways that we're really similar and that like, that's what I need in others as well. And I think I feel more connected, more bonded, and more trusting of others when they kind of hold me accountable and hold me accountable and also are willing to kind of step in to say things that they might even know from the get-go, okay, Melanie probably doesn't want to hear this, but I think that she needs to hear this perspective or she needs to be told this. And I actually just had that experience a little while ago with a friend of mine, and she, in so many ways, I mean, I was talking about my commitment in trying to always become a better listener to others. I have a very dear friend who, she is an astounding listener, just like, she affirms, she validates, she listens to like every word. And it just makes me feel so valued. And I appreciate her so much for that. And I also really appreciate her because in a like particular situation, I was like venting about something that I was really pissed about. And I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to have to do this thing for work. And I really don't want to. And she did something so beautiful where she like heard me out. She was like, yes, this sucks. She validated me. She like gave me what I needed in the moment in terms of like just that kind of validation. And then she was like, Melanie, like this really sucks. And I think you just have to do it.
Mm.
And I am someone who I think in the moment I was kind of like, oh my God. Like, but it did kind of ground me back into the like reality of that certain situation. And she really, in that moment, exemplified like telling me kind of what I didn't want to hear. But in the moment, I think I did need someone to step in and tell me that, because I wasn't telling myself that. And I think that is the reality of the situation. And so just everything that you were saying brought me back to that moment. And how I felt after that moment of like hanging up on the call with her, I felt like I trusted her more.
Yeah.
Because I was like, here's someone who like can give me that kind of space to vent and to process. And she can also, she like had the wonderful timing and the wonderful capability to step in and be like, yeah, like it sucks. And yes, like gave me the reality, said it like I think I needed to hear it. And I totally resonate with you of that being really important. And yeah, I just had a wonderful moment with a friend where she exemplified that. And yeah, I left that call feeling like this is someone who will tell me and be honest with me and tell me not what they like, they're not trying to please me. Yeah. They're actually trying to help me move through something. And it was just, oh, it was so powerful. And I thanked her profusely. And it was just, for me, a really great moment. And it really actually helped me move through something and not stay stagnant, you know?
Yeah, definitely. What a gift too. What a gift that she has to be able to hold that space. And then also, it sounds like she's very grounded, which I think there is a difference. Like there are some people who they out of fear will say, oh, no, 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 you need to do this. Or they give advice out of fear. And sounds like she was very grounded. She listened, was very grounded, and then moved from that space instead of it coming from, well, this is, you know, I'm grounded. I'm in my fear right now. So you need to do this, or you shouldn't do this. You should run away, or whatever that looks like. So yeah, I love that. It sounds like, mm-hmm. And just for anyone tuning in, right? Like holding that space for other people and giving advice or sharing and being honest with someone else, knowing that you may not please them, knowing that it could hurt them, right? Like you could hurt mm-hmm. their feelings, and to be discerning, because is it something that needs to be said, or is it something that someone needs to come to on their own too? So I think that is, it's, there's some instances where people need time to process and, or need the question, need a question asked and not someone going, you need to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And like everything that you're describing, I completely agree with. And I think is so, I feel like it needs to be said, especially in relation to this discussion. And also, that can be like a lot of mental gymnastics trying to navigate all of that. And
yeah.
It just also made me think back to the same friend who, oh my gosh, in so many ways, she's fantastic. But we were talking in the previous episode pretty heavily about like communication and
right.
I think how both of us really value communication. And she also like months ago really modeled something for me that I think I need to bring. And I think other people in my life deserve to have me bring into my life. But like, there was another moment where we like got onto a call and I had just like heard something really frustrating or something had really, I can't exactly remember the details of the situation, but I entered the call like in a mood and wanting to talk about it. And she did something that was so simple, but so impactful of like, she could tell that I was frustrated. And I kind of in the moment was like, I need to tell you something. And before I even started, she was like, Melanie, before you go into it, do you want me to listen? Are you looking for advice? Or like, what kind of support do you need in this moment?
Yeah.
And I like had brain, like my, I felt like I was like orgasming in the moment. I was like, oh my God, this is like the most profound thing that I'm like feeling right now. I was like so overwhelmed with just like, this is juicy. This is wonderful. This is like sensual. This is so beautiful what she just offered me. And I just said to her, I was like, I just need to vent. And she's like, great. And she just like went into listening mode. She was super affirming. And I mean, talk about like a wonderful example of communication and just asking me what I needed and asking me the kind of help that I needed. And I think even more so, it can really be connected to kind of like how to build trust with other people is like, you have to trust them to know what they want. And if you don't know what they want, ask them, you know?
Definitely. I love that. That's one of my favorite questions when someone does come at, you know, they're texting or they're calling and they're like, start venting. And you're like, wait a second, because there's, it can make someone feel uncomfortable and maybe even distrust, or they feel like, oh, I didn't need advice right now. I just need someone to say, oh, that was crappy that you just went through, or that, like, that sounds awful. And then the processing's done. But then other times, right? Like we're reaching out to someone because we want them to hear us and we want to know what would they do? Like, what would they do in our situation? And so I think that is, it's like such a great mm-hmm. question to ask. And I hope everyone starts asking that. And when everyone starts their conversations, maybe they start adding in, hey, I just need a vent. I don't want any advice. Or I'm going to need your advice. I'm going to tell you what, you know, I need your advice. I'm going to tell you what's up and here. So like, you know, sharing our own needs as well. Like, it's so important.
Yeah. No, yes. I've, that is definitely something that I'm trying to get better at, of like, if I'm going in and I know that there's some sort of processing or I need to move through something with someone, like right off the bat being like, do you have the capacity to like, just listen to me, or like, I need your advice, or like, I would really like your advice on something, and having that kind of be the initiator into the topic. But also just everything that we're talking about right now is what you were saying earlier about what was the phrase or the saying that you used of like, when one person stands up, like other people grow backbones. I think that was the language that you used.
Yes. Like when one person stands, other people grow a backbone.
And I mean, I think for me, like my kind of like synonym for that, or like what I would kind of use in place of that, is like modeling things, I think. And I mean, here I just shared like two exquisite examples of like moments where I really felt affirmed and valued and heard and seen by a friend. And it was so beautiful for me in the moment. And it was really kind of exactly what I needed in the moment. And I also left that situation being like, oh my gosh, like these are things that I can bring into my relationships with other people, right? Like we were just talking about, like the practices of like stating what I need in the conversation or in the venting session, like right from the beginning, or like pausing right at the beginning and just being like, hey, do you want me to listen? Are you looking for support? Like checking in with people throughout whatever they're going through, like those kinds of things too. I just think that there's so much to learn from one another in how we show up in relationships with one another. And so it's not only like impactful for me emotionally, and I think for our relationship, but it's also like, is something that I kind of like tuck away or bookmark in like my own like little like model bank in my brain of like, she just really exemplified what this could look like. And I want to learn from that.
Definitely. It's the best learning from each other. I love
it. Amazing. Like everyone is so brilliant.
Everyone's so great. And it is, it's such a cool experience, and that we need each other so much, and we need each other to, you know, to learn and to grow and for the evolution of our soul. Like we need each other. And so that's why it's so important to show up. If we have those healthy boundaries, we trust ourselves, we can be vulnerable, and then we communicate our needs, like, oh my gosh, like how transformational will that be, and allow space mm-hmm. for people to be who they are. Like, yeah. How incredible would yeah. all that be? And that actually, I feel like, is a good segue to talking about like rebuilding trust. Mm-hmm. And something that comes to mind, even just on rebuilding trust, is like family dynamics. I grew up with a lot of siblings, and, you know, years ago, my sister one of my sisters was like, I just can't believe how nice you are now. And I'm like, I totally get it. I was not a great kid. Like, not a great sis. I mean, I was fine as a sister, but I definitely, you know, my shadow side can be bitchy. I can be mean and spiteful. And I was definitely like, as a kid, for instance, like my sister, we weren't getting along. She took my blankie. She threw it up where I couldn't reach. So I took her Cabbage Patch Kid and flushed it down the toilet, like stuffed it, ripped it up, flushed it down the toilet. It was her most favorite thing. And I just remember like, so that just to give you a glimpse. And so like rebuilding trust, like what that looks like, right? With these people that are close to us, family members, but then also romantic relationships and friendships, like when we hurt people and maybe hurt them over and over and over again, and what that rebuilding looks like. What comes what comes to mind for you on rebuilding trust?
I'm just like, yes, this is an amazing question. And I do have an answer. And I'm also just like imagining like a little Dorothy, like running around and like shoving things down the toilet. And certainly in the moment, I'm sure for your sister, it was traumatic and enraging, but just the retelling of the story is so hilarious.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what like siblings do to each other. I feel like it's just like petty, like revenge games.
Yeah, I think they're right. Like there's definitely, yeah, that aspect. But then at the end of the day, you're like, are we still hanging out? Are we still doing that? Right. It's such an interesting dynamic, like sibling dynamic.
Families are so interesting, and siblings in particular. To like really get to kind of this idea of rebuilding trust and what are like my current thoughts about it. I mean, I feel like this might be kind of the most obvious thing to say, but like, I feel still called to say it anyways. I'm just like, I think if you want to rebuild trust, like everyone involved needs to want that.
Ooh, yeah.
Like,
think about that.
Which again, like saying it out loud, I'm like, is this just like a really obvious statement? And everyone listening is like, yeah, Melanie, we know. And I'm just reiterating, but like, I just, for me, I think that is somewhat like so fundamental that somehow it gets overlooked. Like it's one of those kinds of things of just like, if you want to rebuild trust, like with a partner, with a sibling, with a parent, with a friend, well, whoever it may be, I think everyone needs to like have that want to like want to rebuild. Because rebuilding trust, even if certainly in a lot of situations, trust is initially broken because one person did something that hurt your feelings or harmed you, it still requires both people to like actively and intentionally rebuild it. Certainly that building is going to look different from either perspective and either person, as it should. But like, yeah, there needs to be that like, I want to rebuild trust. Do you want to rebuild trust? Yes, I want to rebuild trust. This is something that let's commit to together. And so, yeah, again, feels somewhat obvious and I'm still explaining it. So I don't know if I'm just like taking myself in like a hamster wheel, but I think that that's like a level of intentionality and commitment to one another that I think is really important. I will say that I'm kind of reflecting on my own life. I would say probably my relationship with my parents is like one of the biggest ones where I've had a pretty like intense break or betrayal between like both my parents and myself. And we've rebuilt that trust and we've worked tirelessly like on our relationship to get it to where it is today. But yeah, I feel like in all of my other relationships where like trust has been broken or trust has been betrayed, I unfortunately don't have a lot of experience with kind of that rebuilding, because when the trust has been broken, sadly, that has really kind of led to just the relationship ending. And so I also don't feel like, just from my own experience, I think that there's things here in rebuilding trust that I need to really work on with others. But I think it's important to think about, because I don't necessarily think that trust being broken or betrayed needs to necessarily mean the end of the relationship, you know?
100%. I've worked with people who maybe someone cheated, maybe both people cheated, and working with couples where that can feel like the ultimate betrayal. And I've seen couples that, like you said, they both have the intention of building, rebuilding, of healing, and how they move forward. And there's the real potential to have a better relationship for mm-hmm. that in that experience to then change everything so that you rebuild a firm foundation. And a lot of that is intentional and letting go of the past too. And when I say letting go of the past, right, it's a slow process of forgiveness, but if you're spiteful, if you're like, well, you cheated on me, so now I'm going to even the score. Or it's, you know, one person is constantly making the other person pay for the betrayal or the loss of trust, that to me is not rebuilding trust. It's not a safe space to rebuild trust if you feel like you always have to be the one who's paying for it, and you're paying for it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, definitely. Definitely. And yes, yes to all of that. And one of the things that what you just said sparked for me was, like, I think especially in say romantic or sexual relationships where like a partner has cheated on the other or betrayed the trust of another, I think that sometimes there can be this like completely understandable like desire or want for things to go back to the way they were. But like, I think part of rebuilding trust is maybe also having to kind of come to terms with like, this isn't about going back to where we were, because maybe where we were wasn't working. Yeah. Like, this is about like, we're rebuilding the trust and also kind of therefore like building something new in our relationship. And so that is like also something that, yeah, just what you were saying comes to mind for me of like any kind of advice or wisdom or like nugget that I could offer to people is like, definitely have that intentionality and that commitment from everyone of like, we want to rebuild this trust together, and also allowing for the relationship to blossom and grow in ways that you might not have expected or necessarily wanted. But like, that I think is inevitably going to happen, right?
Yeah. And when, you know, even just the word rebuild, right, that means that the foundation is gone. So mm-hmm. your foundation's gone, then you're rebuilding a foundation, which means it's a whole new bricks that you are building with, whole new set of materials. And you can rebuild it stronger, because then you know, oh, hey, the last time we built this foundation, there was cracks in it because we weren't communicating, or we didn't have date night, or we didn't, you know, see each other or hold space for each other to talk with each other. And so mm-hmm. now to rebuild, we're going to have to do X, Y, and Z. You know, just even the conversations we've had, like in the last episode with, well, what does trust look like for you? Like those agreements you had with your boss, like having these agreements and normalizing having these conversations where there is agreements and going, oh, hey, we're going to maybe rethink these. This is something we did at ICY too, mm-hmm. where it was the agreements in the beginning. And I now do that with my students where I'm like, hey, here are our agreements. Are there anything you want to add, subtract, like reword? And I think that really helps to create a safe space when you do have agreements where you're like, hey, we're not going to gossip, or we're not going to do this, and we're keeping it in house. Like, then it becomes like, okay, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm standing. And so rebuilding, I think, really requires a lot of communication, rebuilding that trust.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that is so beautiful. And I love kind of your pulling in of that metaphor of rebuilding is you're starting with a new foundation and you really are like literally rebuilding majority of the time from the ground up, you know? So that's it's so important. And I think rebuilding can, I feel like certainly building trust, of course, there's vulnerability, there's communication, there's just so much labor and time that can go into that. And, but I do think with rebuilding trust too, like there's almost kind of like an added tenderness there. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's tender for the person who feels hurt and betrayed, or like that their trust with this person was broken because there's harm. And part of rebuilding the trust is also going through that harm and figuring out what accountability looks like in this relationship for you and that person, on top of the labor of just like building trust again. And so it's, and I have to also imagine that, like, say if we're talking about kind of like an dyadic relationship of two people, like on the other side, the person who like caused the harm or like broke the trust, so to speak, like there's also tenderness there of like, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Like I fucked up. And I think that all of this is just like my very long-winded way of saying that, like, I think communication and like patience and vulnerability are especially critical in times of rebuilding.
Yeah, I can visualize that, like what that looks like when we've hurt someone, all the above, but we, our heart's in it. We want to see this forward. And yeah, I think that's like the vulnerability is huge, right? To vulnerability and voicing like, okay, I'm feeling this, or I want this, or I need this. That's all those statements are such vulnerable statements and important statements too. Like communication, oh my gosh, it's just such an important role. Actually, I would love, just what popped into my brain was talking about, so one of our first episodes of Nantucket After Dark, I spoke with Suzanne Keating, who's an astrologer on Nantucket. And so I wanted to know about relationships and also like sex. When you start having sex with someone, like maybe astrology wise, like a good date, like can she go in and figure out like a good date? And we were talking about this, and she said if she were to go and do that, she would look at Mercury, which rules communication, because communication, like we all think, oh, Venus rules love, but Mercury rules so much with a relationship because of communication. Like, are your communication styles off? Like, how can you like move them into alignment? Like, what does this all look like? So yeah, communication is huge.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is so beautiful. I need to go back and listen to that episode. That sounds
so like good. So yes,
conversation.
And have a reading with Suzanne for sure. I know. I was one of those things where I'm like, hey, Suzanne, like if I'm dating someone and I'm getting to that point where I'm like, all right, I'm ready for the physical relationship. And I know for myself, like that's a boundary of mine now of I want to take my time. Like talk about building trust. I don't want, like my yoni needs time. My yoni needs someone who's like, all right, I'm going to take my time. We're going to get to know each other really, really well before there's any like physical relationship, because that's what I've discovered. I really need to feel trust and to feel safe is I need someone who's willing to build that trust and make me feel safe.
Yes. Yes. I love that so much for you, just that you know that about yourself. And I think that that is an incredible offering to share with other people. And it just is like, it, because it's just like one big reminder of things take time and like everyone's pace is different. And I think that, I mean, way back in the start of the first episode, we were talking about kind of like the different layers or the different contexts within which we trust other individuals and also within which we trust ourselves. And like, everything is going to kind of take its own pace, and to be conscious of or aware of that rhythm and that pace. And so you can know that about yourself, I think, is just such a valuable gift.
It is. I love that's like worded perfectly. Worded perfectly.
That's thank you. Such a
gift. And it like the world's so fast now, right? Like everything is so fast, and we're wanting to fall in love fast and be in relationships fast. And it's beautiful when you feel that connection with someone. It's really nice to also feel like you're building something where there is like trust and safety, and not just hoping there's trust and safety.
Mm.
I think yeah. that we're at such a beautiful part of being human is we are hopeful. Mm-hmm. We're so hopeful. Mm-hmm. And I think we honestly do give people benefit of the doubt. So I think,
I agree with that. Yeah, I really agree with that. And to what you were just saying brings me back to thinking about intentionality as well of like,
yeah.
I mean, I could do another like 2-part episode with you just about intentionality and probably about everything else that we've discussed today. It's been so wonderful and fruitful. And, but like for me, it's like, I kind of come back to intentionality because it's, for me, it's about stepping up and kind of being active and engaged and present in what I want to see happen. And so like, definitely, I think I've talked about in building trust, like there's, for me, the intentionality there, and certainly in rebuilding trust as well, the intentionality there of I'm hoping that this is going to happen or I want this to happen. And so I am being present and engaged in it happening.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Taking an active role.
Yes. Like being an active participant in not only just like sitting there and like hoping and wanting and being like, oh, I wish it was this way. It's like, no, I want it to be that way. And so I want to also show that with that action.
Yeah. Love it.
That's amazing.
Action. We all want it, right? We all want someone that takes the initiative, takes action, does what they say they're going to do. Like, it's kind of wild, right? Like, it's not that to do what we say we're going to do, to follow through. We all want someone who in alignment with themselves and does like, okay, here's my intention. I'm going to go and do it. Like, that's huge.
It's so huge. It's so huge. And it just, as we're kind of winding down, I'm thinking about like what I can, but also what we can from this discussion really share with the listeners as kind of like key takeaways or key suggestions. And clearly like I'm team intentionality over here. And so that's like a big thing that I hope that listeners are resonating with and kind of take out of this episode and can go and reflect on it. But I also, and this relates to more so to rebuilding trust, but then I want to get to some of my kind of suggestions or questions for people just around trust in general. But I was thinking about rebuilding trust and intentionality. And again, thinking way back to what I was just saying about like tenderness and kind of going through that heartache, and probably everyone's feeling something really heavy after trust is betrayed. And like, how do we take care of ourselves after trust
is
broken or betrayed? Like, how do you grieve when that happens? Mm-hmm. And because it is absolutely a loss of something, it's a betrayal of something, and that deserves its space to kind of process and heal. And I mean, I kind of like, I'm simultaneously kind of asking you, Dorothy, as like, what, how would you grieve? But like, also, yeah, like to the listeners, like, have that be something that maybe you ask yourself or you contemplate of, like, if you're really kind of reflecting it about trust in your own relationships right now, like, how do you grieve or take care of yourself when trust is broken? And like, is it just like finding some favorite things to do and just like kind of having that little ritual? Is it like crying and eating ice cream, which is one of my favorite pastimes? Crying and eating ice cream. But yeah, no, like, Dorothy, what do you think about that as not only kind of a question for the listeners, but also kind of a question directed to you?
Yes. So two parts. One, for when I'm working with people, students or clients, I have them suggest, no matter where they're at, is to have a list of the care, what they can do for care. So self-care, which is maintenance. So when we're feeling good, that's what self-care is. We're maintaining that, you know, maintaining our status quo. Aftercare is when we've gone through something traumatic. So that's when, if you've gone through a situation where you've felt betrayed, you've lost trust, those are like your aftercare. That's what you need. And then community care, which you may need for self-care, for aftercare, but community care is really important because we can't do everything on our own. We need other people. And so part of, I think, really being this whole holistic person is to make sure we know where to get what we need and what to do when we need it. And so if you have a list, you're like, oh, like I have a joy list when maybe I'm not feeling all that great. I have a list where I'm like, okay, red lipstick makes me happy. I need red lipstick today. Like I'm feeling kind of off. Or maybe it's, I need to go for a walk. So these are like my joy lists. And so I'm all for lists. And I think care list is really important. For myself personally, I've definitely gone through where I've had trust broken. I've gone through where I've broken other people's trust. And so it's so coming from that, it's actually the same answer. And it's making sure that I come back to alignment of what I say and what I do and who I am is all in alignment. And that helps me to build trust with myself. And if I keep showing up as that true self, then that builds trust for the other person as well. And if I keep trying for self-growth, that's huge too, because we can all, if we're actively, like you were talking about, that intention of like, I want to repair this, then that means we're going to have to grow somehow. Self-growth has to be an aspect of rebuilding and of gaining trust. But if you're not doing that, then of course, like it's, you're just going to fall back to old patterns. But if you're like, all right, I need to rebuild, I need to rethink, I need to grow, and what's going to do it? And so caring for myself actually involves making sure I'm in alignment, which could very well mean I need to have boundaries. I need, you know, what made it so the situation, I felt the betrayal, what happened that someone felt I betrayed them. And I'll give an example of like when someone else felt I betrayed them and it was a miscommunication. It was, you know, someone really close to me and they went through a breakup and Facebook did an alert that said I would liked a post of theirs or I liked their page. That's what it was. Their ex's page, except I liked it a year before when they started dating to like support that person. But it popped up on this particular day that, oh, you may want to like this page because Dorothy likes this page. And so this person felt betrayed and for a long time didn't talk to me because they were like, they felt so hurt. And so the growth that for me was communication, also forgiveness, because there's that aspect of like, but wait, I didn't do any, I didn't feel I did anything. So it's like, right. All right. But then also recognizing, well, where can I grow? And so that's just that example of tuning in. Yeah. Like constantly tuning in. So I think have your care list and also staying in alignment. So usually we're out of alignment in these situations. And so coming back to alignment. What about you?
Oh my gosh. You just like gave so many delicious nuggets. I'm like kind of overwhelmed by it. I will say though, that like that question of like, where can I grow? Oh, like that. I know myself. I'm like bookmarking that. I'm going to write this down in like my like iPhone notes of just like that question, because I feel like that question, especially in times of intense emotion or like conflict with others, is so grounding of just like, because I do think that especially in conflict, it can feel like very me versus you, very much like I did nothing wrong. And again, I think some of those like defensive tendencies can kind of try to overwhelm you. And I mean, it's almost kind of just like, take that away, like stop thinking about of like, did I do something wrong or did I not? Like, was I in the right or was I in the wrong? And just like, take the moment at face value and affirm and validate the feelings of the other person and hold of like, in this moment, where can I grow? And we always can grow. That's the beauty of humans, I think, is that we have the capacity to change and to grow and to lean into that with that kind of reflective question. I just, oh, it's so beautiful. So thank you for, I mean, just offering that on top of everything else. I mean, it's just astounding. Yeah, I love the idea of a joy list. I will say that I don't necessarily have joy lists, but I have like playlists of music. I have a Spotify playlist where like it's just titled Happy, and it's just songs that like make me really happy, or just like songs that like I find so beautiful that they make me cry. And like, I, through again, a lot of therapy, through a lot of self-reflection, I have definitely come to learn that there are moments in my days and my weeks and my months or whatever it is where I just like need to cry. I don't know if you ever feel this where you're like, you know what, like I need right now, like I'm in a bad mood or like something's gone wrong or like I feel off. And I think it's just because I haven't had a good cry in a while. I use this playlist for that because I'm like, I need to like bawl it out, and music does that for me. And so, I offer like, it doesn't have to be like a written list for folks. Like if like making something like a playlist for, any type of care that you're needing, please, please do it. Think that I am someone that in any type of grief or in any type of like, I've felt harm and I've experienced harm, I am someone who really much needs that kind of like space and time, classic cliche. I love my individual time and I love my individual space. And so times to like go on walks, like maybe for a little bit, I won't like make social plans and I'll just like really focus on maybe doing some like individual independent care and self-love. And of course that's not for everyone. And so I encourage listeners to remember that, but that's something that's always really important for me is just like, I need to kind of shut out the noise a little bit and be by myself.
Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. So has your definition of trust changed as we've discussed things?
It's evolved. Like, I actually think that this is exactly what I needed at this time in my relationship to trust. I think I really needed this kind of space to talk about it with someone else.
Yeah.
Like, because it's definitely been something that's kind of ruminating in my brain for a couple of weeks, and just to kind of say what I've been thinking out loud, and for Dorothy, like, for you to like listen and be so affirming of a lot of what I was saying, I'm just so grateful for that. And so I feel like my definition of trust has changed. Mm-hmm. And I also just like feel very changed by this conversation. And so I appreciate you.
Aw, thank you.
And what about you?
Yes. Evolution for sure. My definition of trust, there's been some parts that have evolved, but my most favorite has been listening. So I've really enjoyed the things that you've had to say and watching your wheels turn and then also just, just your presence really is really supportive and very, I learned so much. So I really appreciate you sharing everything that you've shared. And so that for me, I think is my biggest takeaway and trusting the process, right? Because just trusting where things go and not necessarily having that end game, right? Like, okay, we want to maybe end at this time or want to do this, but not necessarily having just allowing the flow. And so that's really something that I really appreciate right now. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And that just brought me so much joy to hear that. And I think too, like, maybe my parting wisdom or self-reflection for myself, for you, and for the listeners is just, I think when I'm focused and embracing the process is like when I'm actually the most present in my life, instead of like looking ahead to like my, like the wanted future outcome or the expected outcome. Being in the process, kind of going with that flow, is undoubtedly when I've felt the most present, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Mm. Thank you. Well, thank you again, Melanie, for this time, sharing this space. And if you want to be found, how would someone find you?
Yes, of course. I encourage people to follow me on Instagram if they are feeling called to, at MelanieKayla13. Also, like I did in the first episode, I am plugging Sex Drive, our wonderful collaborative, just like inspiration sanctuary of sexuality educators that Dorothy and I are a part of. Sex Drive is our podcast. At Sex Drive Podcast is our Instagram handle. Give us a follow there. We have great content and fantastic episodes.
Yeah, for sure. My gosh. And we go into communication and all these beautiful things that we've touched on in our first season. So definitely check that out. I'll leave a link. Thank you again, Melanie. I'm sending you so much love. Thank you for
so much love.
Face. Oh, I love it. And yeah, we'll talk soon. Mwah.
Mwah.
I am sending you so much love. And if you're feeling the love, I would love to ask you a favor. Please share this podcast with your community. It's super simple and takes less than a minute, but will help me create more content like this and help other people and spread that love. Here's a fun, easy way to do it. Take a screenshot and tag me at Dorothy D. Stover right on over on Instagram. It's a win-win because I'll make sure to share you with my community as well. Plus, when you tag me, I'll send you a free gift because I like to do my best with spreading love around the world. Thank you for helping me do so. Until next time, peace, love, and hugs. Bye for now.